Welcome to worship this morning. We're a bit thin out because we've borrowed lent all our folks to the Wandon Church for their special hymn fest today. So although we're less in numbers, we're even stronger in our enthusiasm to praise the Lord. I come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, singing joyful songs of praise. Let us sing again. Stand and sing again. And I'll tell you what we're singing. There it is. Here in this place. Please be seated. Let us come before God with our prayers of praise and our prayers of confession. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you and thank you that you are ever present to us, sheltering and protecting us with your love. Before the world was created, you were there. Before the mountains and lakes formed, you were there. Before each of us was born, you were there. And through every moment of our lives, you are surely with us. You, O God, have been in your creation for millions of years, nurturing and tending the world with love. For you, 1,000 years must be like a mere moment, and the short span of our lives like the blink of an eye. Yet with your love, you reach out to us, you attend to our every breath, and listen for the every beat of our hearts. So great is your love for us that you came among us. In Jesus, you came near to us with a humanity that was so fully the humanity you had intended for creation, that we could not bear to be in the presence of it unchanged. A humanity that challenged all our self-righteousness, all our complacency, all our selfishness. A humanity that demanded we become new people, your people, as if we were being thrust from the womb again, a people born anew. Giver of life, we come before you as penitent people. We confess that we too have stood among the crowds in Jerusalem, crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We confess that we so often have found our security in killing off the good and resting content and secure with the evil in our lives, ever fearful of what it means to become a new people, a changed people, a people set free by the power of your love. We confess that we've failed to see your working in the world when it occurs in unfamiliar places and among people we ourselves have rejected. We confess that we've failed to open our hearts and hands to those in need, because with a self-righteous spirit, we've decided that they are less worthy than us. We confess that we've failed to embrace your promise of new life, because our present lives, although stained and crumpled by sin, are at least familiar and routine. We confess, loving God, that we are a mixed-up people. We've heard your promise to us, yet so often with a stubborn spirit, we would rather live life on our own terms, for our own ends, and with our own strength. We've glimpsed your love that has come close to us in Jesus, yet often we're so afraid to let you embrace us with your love, too afraid to cry out to you in our need, too afraid to really believe that you have accepted us as your forgiven people. In the silence, we bring before you, O God, our failures and our brokenness, that you might hear our cries for forgiveness and offer us again the gift of new life. Loving God, hear these our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let us stand to hear the words of forgiveness. Let us stand. I invite you to stand. Friends, hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to everything that is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. I'd invite you to share a sign of peace with those who are near to you. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And we are thankful. Please receive and bless our money here and that given electronically. Our gifts in return to you for all that you've given us. God, help us to be wise, discerning, and open to your spirit to know how best to use these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we sit here in silence and you are present with us, breathing your life into us. And we are reminded and humbled that you are gazing on us with your love and holding us gently and carefully in your eternal care. All is made new each day by you, loving God. And you meet us right where we are, right where we need you. You share in the good things that happen to us and are always waiting for us in the difficult moments. God, you invite us to be a praying community and remind us that you yearn for us to come together with our love, our time, and our companionship, as well as the requests on our hearts. But God, sometimes everything feels messy and confusing and we don't know where to start when we want to pray for others. We need your care to help us untangle everything. You desire for us individually and together to be open, listening, vulnerable, even childlike, so that you can speak to us and continue to work in us. We are thankful for your unending and unconditional grace and love, and the way that you capture our hearts, God, with your invigorating companionship and presence. Draw us closer to you now, to learn from you, and to be nourished by you. We need this time of fellowship with you and with each other, so that we can seek deeply into your tender loving care and join our prayers for others together. So God, we ask you to help us quieten our minds as we seek deeply into your arms and listen to your voice of love. We have so many thoughts and concerns and prayers, some that can be expressed in words, while others are embedded deeply in our hearts and they go beyond words. God, help us to be always aware of the important things in our lives, to care for those around us, and to seek your presence in the lives of all who we meet. We pray for all those who serve us in our everyday lives, people like shopkeepers, bus and train drivers, cashiers at the checkout, medicos, teachers, cleaners, tradesmen. We often take them for granted, but they're all playing a very vital part in building our community and keeping us safe and cared for. So we think of them now. Everywhere we look, God, we see sadness, loss, and confusion. There are so many places of war where hunger is so ever-present, where there's pain, persecution, natural disasters here and in other places. And particularly we think of the fires and the droughts and the floods here in Australia. So we pray for those here and abroad who are now in our thoughts and hearts and need a gift of hope and encouragement at this very difficult time. There are many who have lost loved ones over recent months or are daily reminded of those that are no longer with them. God, give them comfort as they share the stories, their laughter, their sadness, and honour their loved ones. So many others are struggling with illness, surgery, and the complexities that go with a disability or ageing. We pray now for those who need a touch of comfort from your healing hand. Thank you for the news of Tim and Elise, and how wonderful to hear and see little Isle of Joy Elizabeth Richards. Already she's a delightful blessing to her parents and her proud grandparents and to the wider family and our community here. Continue to give Tim and Elise guidance, wisdom and discernment as they seek to be open to your prompting and leading in their increased opportunities and connections with the young new people and with a pioneers team in Arnhem Land. Thank you for the joy and hope that a new babe gives us in our midst. And we pray for ourselves as a community here at North Ringwood, for Andy, Chris, Trevor, and the council members. We ask that they will have balanced lives, clarity of thought, patience, strength, endurance, godly wisdom, as they seek to discern your will and plan for the journey ahead. And for us, we desire, God, to be a praying, caring, loving, safe and inclusive community. So prompt us as individuals and as a community to look beyond our own needs and insecurities and seek ways to continue to create bridges of love and grace, encouragement and hope for each other and for those we come in contact with. We are most grateful, God, that we know you are holding us all so carefully in your strong hands and engulfing us with love. So we ask that you'll bind us together in your grace and your love, for then we can be your people, creating life-giving spaces and life-giving hope. Transform us by your Holy Spirit, and being renewed, we can reach out to others with your message of hope. So we bring ourselves and our church community here and you to you in prayer and hope and thankfulness. And sometimes, God, for ourselves, we are taken way out of our comfort zone and we are unsure how to respond and what to say and do. And we then hear you lovingly saying to each one of us, my grace is sufficient for you, for in my weakness is my strength most fully seen. So, God, in all aspects of our lives, we need your understanding and wisdom, your transforming guidance, comfort, and strength. You are our God and you are all we need. So we pray in hope, in confidence, in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, Saviour, and friend. Amen.
Our first reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel reading today is from John chapter 6, 51 to 69. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the word of our Lord.
On hearing this, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some here who do not believe. And then John records for us that from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The really difficult part of our faith as followers of Christ lies in our coming to grips with the claims that Jesus makes about himself. His claims about how he is not only points to God and to God's love, but that in him and through him, the life that God wants to give us is conveyed to us. There are many seekers after truth who recognize Jesus as a great teacher, even as a great miracle worker, but who cannot accept his claim, the claim that the apostles have forever made about him, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. As with many of those who had followed Jesus around the land of Israel and Palestine 2,000 years ago, the statement made by Jesus in today's reading, in which he claims to give life to us through his own body and blood, is too hard for them. Too hard for them to accept, too hard for them to believe, too hard for them to commit themselves to. We must remember that the world 2,000 plus years ago was very much like the world is today. Most certainly some of us have comforts and conveniences unheard of in times gone by. Our technology and our knowledge of the physical world is way beyond anything that could have been imagined in Jesus' time. But in social and spiritual terms, I believe our time is closer to the time of Jesus maybe than any other time in the intervening thousands of years. We live today, as we are constantly told, in a pluralistic world. A world where not just one religion or system of belief dominate, as it might have been 50 years ago even, where there was a solid consensus about many beliefs that today are in question. The Roman world, and within it, the Jewish culture, was awash with diversity. Many religions existed and claimed to be the way to truth. Many cults flourished and claimed to give the secrets of life to their followers. Jesus was but one claimant among many in a world filled with many claimants. And today, Jesus is one claimant among many who would claim to also offer the way towards life. And like today, many of those who respected and followed Jesus about the countryside as he taught and performed miracles were reluctant to ascribe to him the power and the glory that he claimed for himself as the way to God. For some, this was based in the fact that he had a firm commitment to a different understanding of how God works in the world. For others, it was based in the idea that all religions point to the same God and all therefore are equally valid, that therefore any claims they have to being exclusive are simply wrong. To those who have another faith commitment, I can only say, may God be with you and may you find that which you seek. To those who claim that there are other ways to God, I can say, I can see none. But I can tell you this, I see that my faith in Jesus Christ is my way into the presence and the care and the love and the fellowship of God Almighty. There is a film called, it's about Father Damien going Molokai. This Catholic priest goes to work with the lepers on an island that's segregated off of Hawaii called Molokai, where people who have contracted leprosy or Hansen's disease are shunted off to this island, never to return. And this priest called Father Damien makes this commitment to go and work amongst these lepers, knowing that if he goes there, he will never be able to return. On this island, mostly it's Fijian natives, but there's one Englishman, a crusty old lapsed Anglican, whose father was so severe, a pastor within the Anglican Church, that this guy couldn't even understand how love could come from the God that his father preached. And he's dying, and he's there talking to this priest, Father Damien. And he says, Father Damien, I can't accept your God. Is there another way that I can find eternal life? And Father Damien looks at him and says, I don't know if there's another way. But I can tell you this for certain. that through Jesus Christ you will find eternal life. We can't limit the power of God. We don't know. But we do know this for certain, that through Jesus Christ is the way to life everlasting. In today's gospel reading, when after many of those who had followed Jesus left him, Jesus says to the disciples who remained with him, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And Simon Peter answers him, saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." To whom shall we go? We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. You have the words of eternal life. The Christian church is defined within this question and this assertion. We're a gathering of people who, while acknowledging that the saving power of God cannot be limited, have found in Christ that saving power and have committed ourselves to exploring and living within that power as Christ has both revealed it and embodied it in his very own person. We proclaim in our baptism that God loves us and embraces us as part of his family, and that we wish to be a part of that family. In our weekly worship, and particularly as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we proclaim that we wish to remain a part of God's family, that we need the strength, the forgiveness, the love and the life of God in our lives, and that in the broken body and the poured out blood of Christ, God grants us those things in a unique and special way. Our baptism, our profession of faith, and our coming together as a worshiping community to receive and share the gifts of God as mediated to us and through Christ are the things that define who we are, the things that define our relationship with God and one another. We are followers of the Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ. Out of our embracing Christ Jesus and his embrace for us comes the various things that make us, as a people, ones who show forth the love and grace of God to the whole world. Our commitment and our desire to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God find their source in Jesus Christ. Find their strength to even begin to think of doing them in Jesus Christ. It is Christ Jesus whom we proclaim, and it is his love and his care and his justice that we embrace, because it is in Christ that we have found life, and it's through him and in him that we know that the saving love and the righteousness of God are to be found. We need not make any apologies to those of other faiths about this. And in fact, my experience of dealing with people of other faiths, and particularly Muslim people in the south of the Philippines, was they had much, much greater respect for people who were Christian and would stand solidly by their confession, their commitment and their faith. When we meet others from other traditions and other faiths, we do not need to say that they are wrong, but we need to proclaim so clearly that we know that through Jesus Christ we have found salvation. We cannot point to any other way to salvation than Jesus Christ. At the same time, we cannot set any limit on the saving power of God. So we stand, we bear witness, we confess that through Jesus Christ we have found the way of life. We're gathered here today not simply as the family of God, but as the church, as the body of Jesus Christ. It is Christ who defines us. It is Christ who makes us who we are. As Peter says to Jesus, when many of those who had followed Jesus fall away from him because they find his claims too hard, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. To whom shall we go? The Uniting Church has some identity problems at the moment, especially because of decisions at the last assembly around the issue of marriage. Not all of us can claim with the same certainty what it is that Christ would say about these issues within the church and within the greater world. How we should most faithfully read Scripture, how we should determine God's will for the church. But this is the situation everywhere in the church, and not just in our particular branch of the Christian church. What we can agree upon and what we need to agree upon if we are to take the name of Christ as our own is that in some manner all that is necessary to life comes to us through Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus. That comes in our profession of faith, in his name, in our consuming him, our embracing him, our committing ourselves to him as we gather together each week as a community of believers to worship and praise him. All people are welcome in our midst. We're not called to judge them before God. God, we believe, is more able than we ever will be to make judgment. But the church is, in the end, composed of those who, with Peter, say to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And who then gather that they might receive that life and be strengthened to show forth that life to the world? Those of us in this particular part of the Church of Jesus Christ, called the Uniting Church, who recognise this and who take part in the gathering of the faithful week by week, are one with those in other parts of the body who do the same thing. There is only one body of Jesus Christ. It is not the wisdom of human beings or even the knowledge of Scripture that we might have that makes us one. Nor is it the power of human organisation or structure. Nor is it even the power of calling ourselves a church that gives us life. Rather, it is Christ Jesus, crucified and risen, the Holy One of God, who is the only source of our life. Praise be to God, in and through Christ Jesus, who makes us who we are and who grants us the life that we have and grants life to the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to stand and to make a confession of faith, which will be on the screen. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. This is our faith. Amen. Please be seated. So now may the grace of God that calls us into community and the love of Jesus that shapes and guides us and gives us everlasting life and the power of the Spirit be upon us now as we live as the body of Christ and go into the world as the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.